Hello?
Hello,
Hi, Donna.
How are you all tonight?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I'm doing pretty well, I think. Let's see, other than having to chase my dog down and clean up a few messes because of the rain, I have a doggy daycare in one little back room of my house, and I keep my dog and my daughter's dog in there. And when it rains outside, or if it has rained, they get very picky about where they're going to go to the bathroom, and they decide to do it inside. So that has been rather challenging, but we've got everything cleaned up and back together. And hopefully it'll dry out there, and they'll go back outside. So.
Well, I have seen doggy diapers even.
I know. I should do that. They probably would pull them off of each other, but... One of them is kind of like a big Scooby-Doo, and the other is just a little dachshund mixture, and they are they're quite a pair. So,
Mutt and Jeff, literally.
What?
I said Mutt and Jeff, literally.
Jeff, literally, that's for sure.
Well, I know all my four dogs are just enjoying their little dog house with their little kennel, so.
They have a dog palace, Marlene, don't you? Yeah, you should see the setup she's got, Donna. They do. They've got a little dog palace and an enclosure of their own. They've got quite a setup.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, since we're being recorded, I guess we better go ahead and I'll let you go start, Barbara.
Okay. Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
This is Barbara Gabbert. I'm in Allen, Texas. I'm on the north side of Dallas. And represent the Heart Share team of the Heart Center, which is a movement composed of many heart friends whose mission is to hold the balance of light upon the earth by first intimately knowing their own God presence, then discovering their reason for being, and lastly, emanating light in ways directed by their own presence. The Heart Center consists of people from every imaginable religious or non-religious background, Catholics, Buddhists, Baptists, Unitarians, agnostics, you name it. We work closely with the Ascended Masters, those beings who have fulfilled their karmic debt on earth and now work with the angels in heaven and other. I heard a sound that said muted there.
Oh, you're still on.
Okay.
I just muted the other callers. You can explain, if you want to, what we did.
Okay. When we have questions or if somebody has anything that they want to share with the group, you press *6, and then you'll be able to be heard by the group. And then when you're done speaking, then press *6 again, and you will be muted again. As a general rule, Donna will keep all the callers muted to eliminate background noise since we are recording the classes. So they're going to be on the Heart Center website. So anytime you want to go and listen to previous classes or this particular one again or share it with someone else that you think might be interested, they will be available on the Heart Center website. So remember, no one can hear you speak unless you press *6. So once you do that, be sure and speak loudly, clearly, and not too fast into the phone so that everyone can hear you. So during the class, we'll stop and allow questions and brief sharing. If you participate in that, please limit yourself to about 3 minutes so we can finish the class on time. Then we'll have a prayer request time at the end of the class for those who can stay for another 10 to 15 minutes. Tonight, we will hear a recent heart stream from a cosmic being who referred to herself as a goddess from the Pleiades, which is a particular constellation in our night sky, and her name is Aeolia. We have never heard from her before, before she arrived at this particular broadcast that we're playing tonight to speak through David Lewis, which was a surprise to him. The term goddess simply means a female whose charm or beauty arouses adoration and respect. It just is an indication of her great spiritual mastery. In the Bible, Jesus said to us, "Ye are gods." Thus, we should all work towards arousing respect and adoration in its proper place by living virtuously. Now, do we have a volunteer who would give an invocation for our protection and tonight?
I'll be glad to do it, Barbara.
Wonderful, Jennifer. Please, take it away.
Let us take a deep breath and know that we are connected with spirit through our breath, a conscious breath. And just let our shoulders drop as we let the cares of the day fall away. And as our hearts open to infinite light, infinite love, and we ask in the name I am that I am for the highest and the best outcome from our time together, we call now upon the entire company of heaven, leaving no one out, especially those who are working with us on a daily basis. We ask Archangel Michael to surround us in that blue fire flame of divine will, divine faith, and protection. And we ask for a rainbow bath for each and every one of us, of all of the divine rays and their divine qualities. And in return, we give our open, heartfelt love, and we ask for this opportunity to serve, and so it is.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Jennifer. I always love your voice. It's so soothing. Let us also give together our little Archangel Michael call that Donna has given to us in the past. And Archangel Michael is the leader of all the angels of heaven. He's like the captain of the hosts of the Lord. And whenever you need help with anything, or you're feeling nervous or afraid, or you've lost something, or you're stuck in traffic, or any problem that you can possibly think of, call Archangel Michael to come and help you, because he will be your very best friend, and he does send help, sometimes in unusual ways, but he definitely will watch out for you. Now that prayer goes, Archangel Michael, correct, direct, perfect, and protect us right now. Let's give that together three times now. Together, Archangel Michael, correct, direct, perfect, and protect us right now. Archangel Michael, correct, direct, perfect, and protect us right now. Archangel Michael, correct, direct, perfect, and protect us right now. All right, let's move along to our breathing meditation. This is called pranayama, which means holy breath in Hindi. And at each class, we do this to relax and to align ourselves with the Holy Spirit. As Jennifer said, you know, Holy Spirit is often called the holy breath. And we need to see that divine energy flowing into us with our physical breath, and to understand that that divine energy enters every cell of our being as we breathe. consider your breath as a gift and a part of the Holy Spirit as we do this together. You can do this with the phone in one hand or put it on speaker and set it down. So let's begin by close your eyes and look at the inside of your eyelids. Then with your eyes closed, look up towards that place in the center of your forehead between your eyebrows, the location of your third eye chakra. See your breath coming in and out as a brilliant light entering every cell of your body. Mother Mary said the Holy Spirit is of female gender, thus we say her. Now follow me as I say a mantra and give you instructions to breathe in to the count of four, hold it in to the count of four, breathe out to the count of four, and hold it out to the count of four. Sometimes we do this to the count of eight. For some reason, I'm prompted to do it to the count of four tonight, and we'll do it slowly to the count of four. But we often get lost in the counting when we do the eight. So I thought we'd experiment with doing it to the count of four. So we're going to breathe in, hold it in, breathe out, and hold it out. Okay. Now we're going to breathe in with this first phrase, second phrase, hold your breath, third phrase, breathe out, fourth, hold it out. Breathe in. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. Hold it in. I absorb all of her merit. Breathe it out. I breathe out her light to the world. Now hold it out. I am seeing God's love unfurl. Let's do that together another time. Breathe in. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. Hold it. I absorb all of her merit. Breathe it out. I breathe out her light to the world. Hold it out. I am seeing God's love unfurl. Now we're going to sing. If you have a songbook, we're going to sing song number 19, and it's called To the Elementals. Some of you know this song, and the rest can meditate or hum along with us as we sing it to energize the little invisible spirits.
Thank you.
Community, and they are El Moria, Omram Mikhail Ivanov, the great divine director, Master Lanello, Claire DeLee, who was previously known as Claire Prophet, and or Mother to many people, Mother Mary. And so those six people or masters sponsor the Heart Center community, and you can always call to them for help. So they allow only good cosmic beings to come forth. I know one person asked me one time, what would happen if David was up there ready to give a message and there was some kind of a dark force creature that descended upon him? Well, that will never happen. He is thoroughly surrounded and helped and protected by the archangels. So now we will begin this dictation, and from time to time in it, we will stop and answer some of the questions that arise through the goddess Aeola.
I am a goddess from the Pleiades. My name is Aeola, and I make my presence known upon earth in this hour because many of you have reached in your spirit into higher octaves of light and drawn forth through your devotion an essence truly a divine quintessence of precious beingness that has allowed my spirit to alight upon earth for the blessing of the evolutions here. Dearest ones, there are many holy brothers and sisters of the spirit who are always aware of the plight of those who are transiting from one age to another upon your earth, who require just a little boost and a little greater energy as a push from within so that they may remember who they are as God beings and rise once more into their divine estate of that precious presence of purity and wholeness.
I'm going to stop for a minute and just ask, who do you think our holy brothers and sisters are that the goddess Aeola is referring to here, her here? I think, I forget who is going to share some things about that.
This is Marlene.
Go ahead, Marlene.
Our holy brothers and sisters are, we have many. We have our elementals who help us with the fire, air, the water, and the earth. And we have our leprechauns, and we have our ascended masters, Jesus, Saint Germain, El Moria. We have angels, Archangel Michael, and Gabriel, Faith, Unity. And there's a group that is called the Universal Great White Brotherhood. And we here on Earth are also part of that divine family. So that's all I had to say. Thanks.
This is Ariel.
Yes. Go ahead.
I thought also he was talking to disciples such as myself who have lost hope and are being called back.
That's right. You're very right.
I can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very thankful.
Mm-hmm. I am too. All of us that are on this phone call, we are holy brothers and sisters. And
that's
God
it.
Reveres us. It's just absolutely amazing to me the high position that God gives us. And we think of ourselves as worthless, but we are far from it. And
this is a very meaningful night for me. And my friend Warren has connected me in here.
Oh, good.
And I feel moved to say something. I haven't told Warren yet, but my name's Leslie Cairns. I changed my name to Ariel some years ago because I had a locution while I was painting one evening.
Uh-huh.
And I was called that. And I kept it on my heart for about 10 years. And then I had a young sister pass.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I didn't care to hear my name anymore because all my family had passed. And
uh-huh.
So after 10 years, I took the name Ariel. And I only mention it because I feel called to do that, and that's all.
Then you should definitely keep that name. That's right. Good.
That's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay, we will go on here.
Therefore, in answer to the calls of many of you who have called forth the light from out the Pleiades, I come representing many Buddhas and Mother Beings, concentrating their essences on your behalf in this hour, offering unto you a specific unguent of sacred fire light that when imbibed deep within your soul may allow you, O Holy Ones, to experience a new integrity, a new self-cherishment in light, in order for you to transit into a new dimensional plane of being and experience your true godhood in the light.
Just briefly, the goddess Aeola says here that she comes to help us experience one of these things is a new self-cherishment. We are to cherish ourselves. Ourselves physically, ourselves spiritually, our father, mother self, our Buddhic self, our Christic Buddhic self, our body, elemental self, all of the parts of ourself, we are to cherish them. And one of the things that happens as we find ourselves stuck, I'm using that word for lack of a better word, stuck in our physical body is that we start resenting aspects of our physical self. And as a result, instead of our physical self being encouraged, it tends to be defeated. And I've heard people say, oh, my knees, there they go again. And I have indigestion problems, and I constantly have headaches. And when they rant about these things and complain about these things out loud, more than giving thanks for their head, for their heart, for their legs, for whatever, when they do that, they make themselves worse physically. And I experienced this firsthand this summer when I went through quite a few physical challenges, mainly respiratory, but also digestive pain, aches and pains that I had not had before. And the more I ranted and raved about them and carried on and complained, the worse they got. And I won't go into it now, but I did learn the power, and some of you are aware of this, of the words love and gratitude. And when I got into the habit of hugging myself every day and saying, I love you and I'm grateful for you, starting with sometimes with my toes and going right up my knees, my thighs, my appendix, my large intestine, my small intestine, my stomach, right up to the top of my head, thanking every part of my body and asking forgiveness for what I had put it through and the things I had done wrong in the past that had only injured and hurt my body and made it harder for my body to sustain me. When I started just loving and being grateful for this body, good things happened. And I'll tell you this, amazingly, after I got back from Africa, this trip we took recently, we'll talk about briefly later, I was in better health than I was when I began the trip. And that is really kind of amazing. So now we'll go on from there. I do want to read just briefly to you about the Pleiades so you'll understand what they are. The Pleiades are an extraordinarily beautiful and brilliant star cluster in the constellation of Taurus, the Bull. The Pleiades are also known as the Seven Sisters, and this is referred to here in this heart stream that Aola gives. They say again here, it's an open cluster in the constellation of Taurus. It's among the nearest cluster to the Earth of all clusters, probably the best known and certainly the most striking to the naked eye. This cluster is called often the Six Sisters or the Six Mother, the Seven Sisters or the Six Mothers of the War God Skanda, who is the seventh one. That's in Hindu mythology. But every different culture has different, the different cultures have different thoughts about those seven stars or seven sisters, and they have different stories about them. And the one I think about the Hindu mythology with the six mothers trying to contain the war god Skanda, I think that's kind of an interesting one. I won't go into that now, but you can look it up on the on Google or on your internet. It's the Pleiades are mentioned three times in the Bible, in Job 9:9, in Job 38:31, and in the book of Amos 5, chapter 5, verse 8. And it's rather interesting that they are given that importance. So, but when you get a chance, look up the Pleiades. They're very, I know I'm probably not saying that right. I don't think I said it is the same way David does, but the Pleiades are a very interesting cluster of stars with lots of good history, and we learn in this heart stream an even greater importance about them in a few minutes.
Yes. Your beloved Claire Denis did travel with the ascended Lanello after her transition and ascension to the realm of the Seven Sisters to learn more of what would be required to raise your earth in light at the juncture of these two ages, while also receiving instruction from us on what would assist them upon their path in preparation for the great day of their initiation as representatives of the sixth root race for Earth, taking their place at Lake Titicaca.
Okay, one of the things that comes out here is the importance of women to be raised in their estate all over this planet so that they are considered equally important as men. We don't have this problem as much in the United States, although it's still there, but all the other countries of the world do have difficulty with this. Women have been put in the lower echelon. In China right now, and in India, there are so many males, because of the abortion killing of the baby girls, that the men are a little bit bummed about this, because they don't have wives. They can't. Many men in China are not married, and men in India are not married today because there are not enough women. They did it to themselves. And so it's very important we find that, and I'm going to read you a little portion here from Cyclopea. Cyclopea is one of the Elohim. His twin flame is Virginia, and they are the Elohim of the fifth ray, the green ray of truth, healing, constancy, and the desire to precipitate the abundance of God through the immaculate concept of the Holy Virgin. They hold the focus for the all-seeing eye of God, and there we have a constant reminder of that on the great pyramid on our dollar bills with the eye, the single eye there. Cyclopean and Virginia focused the purity of single-eyed vision, which was lost when mankind partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I'm reading here from a heart stream from Cyclopea, in which he says, O mankind, the mother flame is rising, and all that is less than the acceptance of woman's estate as an equal to men in all arenas of activity in all cultures must give way to the divine estate of the feminine principle of God. Therefore, work for Omegas and Vestas. Omega is the twin flame of Alpha. Vesta is the twin flame of Helios. And all of the mothers of heaven's rightful station within every aspect of society, so that there is balance and harmony, beginning with the family and evolving through the culture into the highest echelons of decision-making, of judgment within the governmental institutions, including the courts and Supreme Court of every land. Because, blessed ones, Earth must have the culture of the mother fully invested within her in order for a golden crystal age to manifest. So before this golden age gets completely manifest, we must understand the mother light, and we must honor the female, the woman. Through a long-standing imbalance and through the decadence that has resulted in the subjugation of the mother light, Earth has not made the progress that it could have. And therefore, each of you must raise the mother light from the base to the crown in order for the nourishing aspects of the Kundalini fire to give birth to higher consciousness within the mass awareness of mankind. I think we all need to meditate on that one. We don't have time to go into that in great detail tonight, but there is a lot that has been given to us recently by Mother Mary on this importance. There's a song that I, Mother Mary inspired me to write. It's song number 120 in the songbook, if you have it. It's on the Mother Light and what the Mother Light does through us and how the Mother Light needs to be exemplified and emanated through men. They need to know this Mother Light every bit as much as we know it, and we need to grow in it ourselves. So now we will go on.
And dearest ones, the preparations are almost complete in heaven, and yet there is much yet to be realized upon earth. During the remainder of this year and through next year, in order for this holy procession and succession initiation to be fulfilled, each and every one of you attending this Meru University class and course are on the inner, receiving the impulses from the Pleiades and from Omega and the heart of the great central sun to allow you to merge with your highest selfhood and to experience through your own office of light what is required for the great transition that the end of the Mayan calendar on that seminal date represents for your Earth.
Now, Aeola said, she said, "Dearest ones, the preparations are almost complete in heaven." So, what do you think the preparations in heaven might consist of? I think
this is Jennifer.
Good.
And I thought I would share with you some of the things that I think and have seen in my research that heaven is involved in. We are ending what is considered a dark cycle and going into a cycle of light in the Aquarian age. And we are moving from a separateness consciousness into a universal consciousness or a oneness consciousness. And if we read in Revelations, at the end of a cycle, there is an accounting, and much of the preparation that heaven is involved with is the order of the universe. We have definite requirements to meet at the end of a dark cycle before we can go into a new cycle, and heaven is assisting us with that. And when we are able to work in hand with heaven together, the two of us, we can mitigate some of the stress and strain. We can lessen some of the difficulties of accountability, being held accountable for the way that we have qualified our energy. And so the violet flame is one of the things that we are working with intensely. Heaven is working intensely with us, with the different flames or rays of the divine, helping us to let those divine qualities that we possess that are latent come forth, and to minimize and to help others to clean up their act, is one way of saying it. And so with this, we will see a blending of religion, and I think heaven has been very active in helping us with bringing science and religion together. In preparation, we're seeing the barriers of race prejudice being broken down. And even though this is being accomplished under conditions of revolt in some areas and bloodshed, I see it as part of the process of change, transition. We are being asked to break down our fears, to address our fears, and we're being raised in our vibration in an increasingly higher and nobler state of our spirituality, living a life of service to humanity is one of the things that we will see more and more of as heaven prepares us. We will be exercising our powers of compassion and altruism, and in bringing it down to a level of, so what does that mean to me? How does it apply to me? Opening our heart to work with heaven, doing what feels right, trusting and being guided. I think the people who are out there protesting and saying to the corporations, no more greed, are being guided. I think they're trusting that they have to take a stand, and that they want to take a very visible stand. So dealing with what is right in front of us is part of working with heaven, using everything to grow, to help it uplift us, to take care of our unfinished business. And, of course, the most important thing that we'll do is to face our fears and see them transmuted and dissolved. And it is important for us to do whatever we have to do to maximize our health and our energy, and to channel and discipline our energy so that we are able to better serve. As we transit into this new dimensional plane where we're experiencing the light and our divinity in this light. So there you have my take on that question.
That is wonderful, Jen. That's great. That says it. Yes. Anybody else? Okay, I'm just going to mention one other thing that was in this last paragraph. Ayola said that what is happening is allowing us our own office of light that is required for the great transition to occur. So what is this great transition? I was reading a little bit by Greg Baden, and he says, he reminds us that Earth's background base frequency, or heartbeat, which is called the human resonance, is rising dramatically. And this has got to do with the geophysical condition of Earth right now and what's happening, this ride that we're going on with the Earth as it goes into its labor pains and delivers a new Earth through this that goes into the next dimension and gives, and the new birth comes forth, and everything becomes new. Actually, and it's just like a mother giving birth to a baby. The heartbeat and the frequency and the metabolism of this mother goes way up. I used to have to keep a blood pressure cuff around a woman when she was in labor. I used to work in labor and delivery years ago. And sure enough, all kinds of things happened to that woman's body while she was giving birth. And there are all kinds of things happening to this earth body while it gives birth. And when the metabolism goes up and the body is giving birth, every cell in that body, the metabolism is also going up in those cells. And we know right now that even though it varies among geographical regions, for decades the overall measurement of Earth was 7.8 cycles per second. This was once thought to be a constant, and even if they say our global military communication developed on this frequency. But recent reports have now shown the rate from having gone up from 7.8 cycles to over 11 cycles and climbing. And science doesn't know why or what to make of it. But we know that Earth is in labor and it's giving birth to a new Earth that we are going to hopefully be here and be on. And just as the cells in a mother's body speeds up in vibration and metabolic activity and change, that's what's happening to us, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
It is not the end of the earth, the demise of your world, blessed ones. Yet it is the end of an era of darkness and a point of transition to a new world awareness, whereby many more, quickened by the cosmic rays that are alighting upon Earth day by day, will receive that inner quickening for their advancement on the path of light and their victory, the victory of their soul at last. Yes, dearest ones, I play in this hour what some have called an alien harp, and the vibrations from the strings of this great cosmic lute emanate throughout this sector of the galaxies, where the blessing of many life waves and for new and holy crystalline mother frequencies to flow unto your souls and the soul of your earth itself.
So we'll talk briefly here about vibrations and how they affect us and the kinds of vibration occurring now from the earth changes and even from this cosmic lute that she calls the Eloian, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, Eloian harp, and the vibrations from the strings of this great cosmic lute emanating throughout the galaxies to bless us. I listened today briefly to a man play a whole bunch of crystal goblets with water at different levels. He played a classical piece that just made me shiver. It was so balancing and so perfect. And if any of you would like to hear that, let me know and I'll forward it to you. I thought of playing it for you tonight, but it won't sound right through the telephone. I want to do it justice. So if you're interested in hearing it, it's quite amazing. It may help balance you in some way, lift up your spirits, balance your body, organism, and vibrationally. So the human body is made up of electronic vibrations, with each atom and element of the body in each organ and organism having its own electronic unit of vibration. And these are necessary for the sustenance of and the equilibrium in that particular organism. Now take, for example, the vibrations of music. When a body or an organism is at a high frequency level for certain electronic vibrations, the body will respond positively to other high frequency sounds, such as certain music. And we've discovered that playing classical music around plants, for instance, help the plants be healthy, grow tall, stay very green and vibrant. Whereas when rock music or heavy metal music is played around the plants, they do not do well, they do not grow as fast, they wilt, and they may die. This has been performed in experiments over and over. I read one experiment that I may have shared before in which somebody put a raw egg on the stage. I can't think of that guy. We all know who he is. Anyhow, he's into heavy metal and rock in a big way. And at the end of his concert, they picked up the egg and it was hard-boiled. The vibrations from the heavy metal music hard-boiled that egg. Can you imagine what that might do to someone's brain that hears it over and over and over? So when a body or an organism is at a low frequency, these sounds from the high frequency may actually irritate them. I thought that was interesting. Many vibrations cannot be heard, just felt by those who are ready for them. And they may be felt at such a high level that the experience is entirely unconscious, such as the playing of this harp by the goddess Aeola. However, I'm going to tell you this. If you listen carefully, when you meditate daily, you just stop and listen, you will sometimes hear amazing and uplifting frequencies. And I would like to challenge each of you to take a few minutes when you first get up in the morning. Get up, take a big glass of water, sit down and meditate for about 3 minutes. And if you don't think that's possible, get a timer, set it for 3 minutes. And as you get better at it, you can set it for longer. But you will hear amazing sounds. Okay, we'll go back.
These vibrations manifest wholeness and balance. They recreate all in their perfected original state of beingness. They allow for an ascendancy of consciousness to new planes, through new spiritual techniques that afford the soul a new view of life from a cosmic perspective, and in the relationship of your oneness with your source through this alchemy of ascendancy, there is a great awakening and a new world born from within you.
So how do we participate in this new ascendancy of consciousness that she tells us about, that takes us to new planes? Does anybody have any idea? It could also be called the consciousness of ascension.
By decree.
Yeah, that's one. And anybody
else?
Can
you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the vibration of this cosmic ray, these cosmic rays that are bringing in us into a new state of receptivity to our higher nature. And as we are increasingly attuned to our higher self, there's a unfoldment of the divine within us. And it's manifesting in our lives and our prayers, through our prayers and our purifications and meditations. As you said, the meditation and the visualizations, they take on a more powerful, a co-creative state with God, with these increased vibrations and life on this. And we will more rapidly be able to know the divine world through this increase of the cosmic rays and vibrations. And life on this planet, as we have experienced it, will be going through changes. The planet herself is going to be outpicturing more of the goddess state, the divine plan of the earth. So this information is received, that we receive, being in this higher receptivity, higher receiving on this end, we are receiving information much more quickly and cognizing it more fully. And we must have a new state of balance in order to be able to, hold on to this, these frequencies in this light in a balanced way. And one thing that is happening is that we precipitate much more quickly what we think and what we desire. So it's desirable that we keep our attention, to our heart, to God, that we have pure thoughts, pure feelings, and precipitate the pure things. Because when we get off and have negative thoughts, because we have a stronger magnetism to what we think and feel, we need to just keep that in harmony and be watchful to do so. And it will much more quickly manifest the positive that we hold in our vision. We need to hold the perfect vision for all life, ourselves, all parts of life, because we know that it is going to more quickly manifest as what we see and feel. So to keep it in a perfect state, a perfect vision for all life, I think that's what we need to do.
Very good. That's right. For sure. Did you have anything else you wanted to share with us?
I think that's it.
That was very helpful. what some of the somebody sent me a interesting forward on it was called Zero Point and the Schumann Resonance, and it tells some of the things that we do experience right now with these changes going on, but they also, these changes that are occurring, help us to have this ascension consciousness. But different people are affected in different ways. Some people may have more intense tiredness from time to time, migraine headaches, electrical sensations in the limbs and the spinal column, cramps in their muscles, sometimes flu-like symptoms, intense dreams, and these could all be caused by the changes taking place on Earth now, as the human body will become more sensitive as a result of this. Our DNA is being reprogrammed from the universe as predicted in the Mayan prophecy. We're probably going from a 2-strand back to a 12-strand DNA with resulting greater intuitive and healing abilities. So these are things that are happening that are also going to increase our awareness that I'll just mention. Now, that doesn't mean you read these things or hear about these things and decide, oh, that must be what's happening. We don't always know.
Yes, dearest ones, I have come to answer the pleas of many who are almost in anguish at what they see around them as destruction, degradation, and delusion. All of this will simply disappear when more awaken to the reality of the higher worlds and a vision of what is already manifesting in a golden age civilization in etheric planes and higher realms, even in the atmosphere of your own earth and the crystal cities of light.
I might mention right here that one of the biggest challenges we face is to see things through God's eyes as the perfection that they will become. When we are looking at the news and constantly seeing and hearing bad things, that's how we visualize life. And that draws it even more to us. We want to visualize.
Like Jennifer just said, to hold the perfect vision for all life.
Exactly. We need to hold the perfect vision for all life. And one way to do that, I discovered, is to imagine how Mother Mary sees us. She sees us as immaculately perfect. And she said she would be our eyes for us. So when you look at somebody that you have been critical of, maybe a child of yours that's just given you fits, or a husband, or whatever it may be in your life, look through the eyes of Mother Mary. See her as coming down over you and yourself, looking through her eyes as she would see that person, because she sees that person immaculately. Okay, now we'll go to the last part of this.
I walk within those crystal cities this day, blessing all beings of light and sharing the quintessences of holy virtue from the Pleiades with all. I am with you as you meditate upon the heart of God and accept your own beingness in light each day. I thank you.
Would anybody like to define what quintessences of holy virtue might be? Yes.
Hi.
The beloved goddess Aeliola from the Pleiades said that she was sharing the quintessences of holy virtue, and a quintessence is the purest or most perfect example of something. It is also the purest extract or essence of a substance, containing the substance's properties and their most concentrated form. When you think of a godly virtue, you think in terms of purity, perfection, and beauty in its most pristine form. I believe the goddess is releasing essences of all the beloved virtues of God in these higher realms so that at an appointed time, these graces would be bestowed upon our blessed earth as she transcends into the golden age of Aquarius. Quintessence, says, are also it's also referred to a hypothetical repulsive force in cosmology that permeates the whole of space and counteracts the force of gravity. It is considered a fifth element, in addition to air, earth, fire, and water, which holds the moon and stars in place. It is believed to be an exotic kind of energy field that pushes particles away from each other, overpowering gravity and other functional forces. It is believed that two-thirds of the universe is composed of this fifth element, and this quintessence is accelerating the universe. I also visualize the beloved goddess Aeliola permeating these crystal cities of light with the very substance of the universe, setting in motion this expansion, which will bring our planet into congruence, overpowering even gravity itself, to bring our beloved planet into her oneness with her sun, the solar essence, as she merges into this golden age of consciousness.
Wow. That really covers it.
Wow.
Thank you. Barbara, if you're still there, would you seal this for us? And then what we're going to do is we invite any of you that can stay. We're sealing the class for now. But any of you that can stay are welcome to stay for our prayer time. And Dee is going to share her experience in Africa. I think you might, many of you might enjoy that also. So Barbara, go ahead and seal it.
Okay. We call now to the heart of God in the great central sun, to all our heavenly fathers and mothers, to the goddess Aeliola, and especially to the archangels and archei of the five secret rays, now known as the crystal rays, to be with us and to hold us close to their hearts as we walk ahead into the days and weeks to come, and to guard our energy, to soak in and truly embrace these new energies that are coming into our lives, and to truly listen to our own hearts and to our own God presence, and to become the fullness of all that you desire us to be. We thank you so much for this beautiful teaching and for the gift of this wonderful cosmic master coming to the earth to bless us. And we gratefully accept it. Amen.
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 I'm going to ask Dee Stewart to share with us about the pilgrimage we just recently took. And I just briefly want to tell you that pilgrimages occur when the masters come and speak to us, or speak through David especially, and often confirm it through the hearts of others, that there is a particular area of the planet that needs our presence, where we can go, where we can plant crystals, where we can plant our carbon footprints, where we can march across the land, so to speak, or fly across the land in parts, and pray for the people, and leave our light, and encourage whoever we meet on that land. I was amazed how much we do by doing this. So this last pilgrimage that we took was to Africa, and I'm going to let Dee tell you about it.
Well, it was an honor and a privilege for me to go on this pilgrimage.
And Dee, speak a little bit louder.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Yes.
I was very honored, and it was a privilege for me to go on this pilgrimage. And even though it's called a pilgrimage, I also saw it as missionary work, if you could consider that. When we go to any place, as Donna had mentioned, that the masters have indicated that there is a requirement, there is an urgency almost that there be individuals of light to go to these places and to pray and commune and to just be loving and kind and to interact with the people. I consider that missionary work. And when we went to Africa, we went to Ghana, West Africa, and we visited three cities, Kumasi, Accra, and Cape Coast. And one of the places that we went to was the Elmina Castle, which was a place where slaves were brought, and they had slave dungeons there, and they actually had an area there that was called the door of no return. And when we went there, we were able to place crystals that Donna had given to us, wherever our heart directed us to place these crystals, to have these crystals as an anchor of light or a point of light to, I would say, to actually consume any and all of the negativity that had taken place in this particular area. And it was just such an honor, I would say, and such gratitude that builds up in your heart when you feel that you are having an opportunity to have an impact, a positive impact on a situation in this particular case where there had been so much misery. We saw these places, and you had to pray very hard for your heart not to just ache because of what you saw there and what you could imagine these people went through. However, we were there, and we were sharing love and light and joy, and we prayed. And it was such a magnificent event that I felt that took place there. And we went to other people, to other places, and we interacted with the people. And as Donna mentioned, these people were so loving, so wonderful. Even though they lived in poverty, they had such a joy. The children, their eyes just glistened. Everyone was just talking about how beautiful their eyes were and how beautiful their teeth were. And it was just such a loving event. And I would encourage anyone and everyone that would have an opportunity to participate in future pilgrimages to do so, because I think, as you have all mentioned, we're transitioning from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. We're going from being more dealing with ourselves on a personal level, and now we're going into a situation where we're going to be dealing more in a collective. We're going to be more loving as a group and doing things for the whole, being feeling that we're a part of something, that we are one, that we're not separated. And I think that as we do these things, we're actually bringing forth this Aquarian age, this golden crystal age, into manifestation. And as I was reading about the quintessence, I believe that the goddess Aeola was actually bringing about this, as I said, this expulsion, so to speak, the actual changing the universe, having it to expand at a faster rate, and bringing us into this congruency with the light that is going to be, just the earth is going to be engulfed in this light as we go into this Aquarian age. So it was a great experience, and I'll just share this because of our time. Before we left one of the places we stayed at a hotel for a few days, and we had these beautiful young people, I believe some were college students, who served us each day. And we attempted to leave them a tip because we know that they were they come from homes where there's not very much money at all, and so we attempted to leave something for their service, and it was so joyous. And even one of the masters, when they had come in a heart stream, had indicated how diligently they were working and how they were trying their best to serve us. so as we were saying our goodbyes, there was one young lady that had been serving us, and I had gone up to her, and I gave her a hug, and I physically felt something leap from my heart into her heart, and I know she felt it, and we didn't say anything. However, we kind of stood apart from each other and just looked at each other, and so it was a confirmation for me that something magnificent had happened there, and I was actually given a physical, tangible expression of that. So I would just encourage anyone and everyone that if there's another opportunity for us to go into a pilgrimage, that we do our best and come together in prayer to make that a possibility. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes.
Yes, that's great. Okay, what we're going to do now is take prayer requests. If you want to give me a prayer request, hit *6 so that I can hear you. And just give me your name and the request you have so that we can pray for you, and we will continue to pray for you between now and the next teleclass that we have. So any of you that would like to stay for that, please do. I'm going to stop the recording right now.
Hello.
Hello. This is Rebecca.